Scripture reading this morning is Psalms 27, 1 through 5, 13, and 14. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though a war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord.
I love walking by a lake, a creek, a river, the ocean. How many have been to the ocean? Most people make a trek there sometime. I've watched newcomers arrive at the beach, and they slip off their shoes, and they decide they just want to wade in the water, ankle deep. And the next thing, you roll up their pants and go in a little deeper. They then feel the tug of the tide pulling the sand under their feet, and this feels good to most of them. And the waves, they maybe even, because they have their cutoffs on, they go right in, and they feel the waves on their body. There's a definite pull, a draw that could sweep them off their feet. And they could have a wet landing, whether they're dressed for it or not. You may be a person who loves to be out with people, whether it's coffee or cold drink. You won't miss the chance to meet with other people. Hospitality in today's society is often meeting together at the coffee shops in town or city, or have a chinwag even around your own table to get caught up with the neighbors and friends. We need to be willing to give our time to have a coffee with a friend, as it is a gift of time to them, even if we aren't coffee drinkers. Thinking spiritually, if you look back over your lives, were there points of time when you gave your time to grow your relationship with your friend, God? Do you have a morning coffee with him? Think back over your life to some time when special people helped you with your life and showed they believed in you. For me, there was a lot of people who took time to help me. Sunday school teachers took time to prepare interesting lessons for the squirming kids in the small basement Sunday school rooms of our church in Horsham, Saskatchewan. You know where that is. The elevators and stores in the church are closed many years ago, but the influence people in that church made on my life was life-changing. I also loved Cypress Hills Bible Camp, south of Maple Creek. Each summer, where cabin leaders and speakers directed us to learn to read portions of Scripture and fill in answers to studies and meditate on what we read, and we learned to memorize Scripture, which helped us grow in our understanding of what the Bible teaches. Children's and youth level speakers who spoke to my heart challenged me to live a life totally committed to God. People who cooked at the camp and who built the buildings at the camp, or in your church who do that type of thing, they also influence people. We had pastors who spoke every Sunday a.m., evening, and midweek service for youth and children as well as for adults. Since then, I've been to Bible College, MMBI, for one of them. Then Bible studies, family camps, growth seminars, on and on it goes through the years to remind me of what God has written about living godly lives. What has drawn you closer to God and his word? For most of us, it's been a journey from the time we first realized we needed a relationship with God. Remember when God first talked to you. Where did he have to take you? Some of us were told stories of God's love as little children in our homes, and we moved into an awareness that God needs to be an important part of our lives. Or did you simply go to church and God spoke silently to you as you perused the hymn book or the Bible? Maybe you first felt the draw of God through a favorite preacher or through the life of a friend of yours. Maybe God spoke to you as you hiked in the wonderful world he created. God compels us to know him and to love him, and as he shows us, he loves us. How do we get to know God? Personally, we each needed the draw of God. And the clincher is how we answered the draw of God. Question was, do or did we want a relationship with him? As we realize the draw of God, we knowingly make the commitment of how strong the relationship is that we want with him. With any relationship, we need to give a gift of time, as time for the Lord to walk with us and to work in us, and we'll finally definitely gauge if he's our creator, is our confidant and our friend. In the hymn, I Am Thine, O Lord, the first verse talks about hearing God's voice, and Fanny Crosby, the writer, wanted to draw closer to God as the chorus goes. Draw me nearer, 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 precious Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. The second verse talks about consecrating herself to God's service by God's power and grace, and her prayer is that her will be lost in God's will. The third verse of the hymn talks about delighting and spending time in God's throne room, kneeling in prayer, communing with God as a friend. When heading out for a week's vacation, if you're a reader like me, you pack along with your Bible as many paperbacks or card covers books that will fit into your suitcase. However, there's no possible way when heading on a road trip that I bring along a scroll. Would you bring along a scroll? Back in the day when scrolls were the only reading material available, they were few in number, as they were all handwritten. Let's turn to the true story of the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8, 26 to 39, and let's stand for the reading of God's word. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of Samaritans. And the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is a desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, and reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, Go near and join yourself to this chariot. And Philip ran to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Do you understand what you are reading? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired that Philip come up and sit with him and explained it to him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter and like a lamb dumb before his shears. So opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who will declare this generation? For this life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch asked Philip and said, I pray you, of whom does the prophet speak of? Himself or of some other man? And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went their way, they came to certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. Is there any reason for me not to be baptized? And Philip said, If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and the eunuch went on his way. You may be seated. In the New Testament times, the Old Testament scrolls were about all the reading of material that was available. So because of the eunuch's station in life and education, it gave him a chance to have access to a scroll for his trip, so the trip wouldn't be so boring. As far as the eunuch knew, he had a day to himself, probably a great break from his ordinary day. As a treasurer for Candace, Queen of Ethiopia, he'd be running finance meetings, but this was a road trip, and he planned to read his scroll. However, someone else planned a meeting that day for the eunuch. The meeting changed his life. In the modern day, we'd make a phone call or two or send a text message to someone to organize a time and a place when it would be convenient to have a meeting. We'd plan how we'd get there for a talk face to face. The length of the agenda and the place would dictate how we travel. Car, bus, train, plane, or maybe we'd bike, run or walk if it was really close by, if we were athletic. Not too many things happen without someone organizing them. Months back, Pastor Workentine contacted me via email and arranged for me to come today, and he gave me details about where your church was. There has to be someone to initiate the meeting, or it won't happen. In Acts chapter 8, it was God who was the initiator of the meeting. This meeting was to be between two individuals who lived in two individuals, and they lived in two different countries. And one was in the chariot pulling by horses, and the other person was used to walking a hikey, dusty trail. Number one, God draws us to himself. The fellow Philip in our story has been drawn to believe in Christ as Jesus began his ministry in Israel. When Christ was on earth and Philip was a disciple, Philip developed a relationship with Jesus and preached for him. In Acts 8, Philip was preaching in Jerusalem and the Samaritan villages around there, and he was preaching about how Jesus could make a change for eternity in people's lives. Philip was heart-driven to proclaim Christ as Jesus had commanded in Mark 16, 15 and 16. Mark 15:16. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth shall be baptized and shall be saved, and that he that believeth not shall be condemned. You may have been directed by God to do stuff, but have you ever been directed by an angel to quit what you're doing and pack your backpack, as Philip was? Philip had planned to preach Jesus in Jerusalem to the crowds of people. He didn't really choose to go out on a dusty road to the middle of nowhere. If I have plans, the last thing I want to do is to be interrupted and to have somebody tell me that they have a better plan for my life. But the angel knew, if you're looking for a recruit for a project, it has a better chance of getting done if there is an inner motivation to do something similar. I will have more vigor, joy, and sense of accomplishment because of an inner urge to do it. The draw of God. God had this meeting planned. We all like to be where the conveniences are handy. Philip may have packed lunch and a vessel of water, as he was surely to get thirsty. A walk down a dusty path is inconvenient and most likely seemed a waste of time. Philip was used to engaging large groups of people, redeeming the time. And as far as he could see, the road and hillsides were bare, and he saw no one. But God needed him. I love to take a walk down by the Bow River at Baker and Bowness Park. Maybe you've been in Calgary. often to breathe the fresh air and see the flowers, scenery, wildlife, and other people there. I choose to walk before the temperature gets too hot, or the late evening when it has cooled down a little bit. Philip had no choice, as he was directed to go by the angel. So there was no choice of time. Now, we weren't told if this was the first visit the Ethiopian eunuch made to Jerusalem to worship. As I said, he was the treasurer for Candace, Queen of Ethiopia. So as a privileged man, he may have been in Jerusalem many times on business and probably had just purchased a scroll of Isaiah he was reading in his chariot. He was riding in comfort, as comfortable as it could be, most likely on a beautiful canopied chariot. He probably had servants with him to supply his every need, such as a cup of water or obediently fanning him. I've seen pictures that artists have drawn, so it's not just my imagination. He needed his brow cooled from the hot sun, but the servants could not give him everything he needed. And that's why God set up a meeting with Philip. Though I haven't had the opportunity to try reading in a chariot, I'm quite sure I would have motion sickness, since I have motion sickness trying to read in a car. So that's why when my husband and me travel, I get to do all the driving and he works on his computer or reads a book, because I like something to do. It's boring, right? The chariot, without all the gadgets we have in our cars, like radios, iPads, CD players, gave the eunuch, probably the only one educated to read the scroll, a chance. A chance to read out loud to all who could hear from the book of Isaiah. Did he feel the servants were interested in what he read? Or was he reading out loud just so it would be easier to understand what he was reading? When there is a lot of noise in our house, or if I'm in Starbucks and people are talking on all sides and I'm trying to comprehend what I'm reading, I mouth it or read softly out loud, as it's sometimes easier to think and understand the message in the material by blocking out other noises. I'm amazed that the eunuch, who was probably well-dressed and used to all the pomp of the royal palace, that he would even allow the traveler walking beside the chariot to come on. But he knew that Philip didn't want a free ride, but was questioning about his understanding of the scripture. The eunuch felt Philip was sincere in his desire to help, and he hungered to know what and who the scriptures were talking about. Number two, God draws non-believers through his word. The secret for spreading the gospel message around our towns and cities and the world is that people need their appetite wet with anticipation by God and through our presentation of God to them, so they will be willing to listen. The eunuch's appetite was wet. There was a draw. The troubling passage of scripture from Isaiah he wanted clarity about was from Isaiah 53:5-8. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep are gone astray and have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to be slaughtered, and he opened not his mouth. It was his last phrase. That was the Ethiopian eunuch's problem to contemplate. Philip had a chance to share. Since the Ethiopian eunuch had already been to Jerusalem, it seems he hadn't heard there about Jesus' life of compassion in his death and resurrection for the sins of the whole world. Thus, Philip had a great opportunity to explain in detail and must have spent a lot of time telling him all about Jesus. He took the time. Philip must have shared about the many people who had believed in Jesus and were baptized. The Ethiopian eunuch, the learner, understood and saw a lake or a body of water alongside the trail and knew he wanted to be baptized as a believer in Jesus' name. Philip questioned the eunuch. If he understood the meaning of it all, how can he learn so fast what this is all about? Because it was new to him. In verse 37 of Acts 8 says, Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, of course you can be baptized. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And the eunuch commanded the chariot to stand still. And Philip and the eunuch both went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. This was a true believer's baptism. And number three, God draws to obedience. If we obey, others hear of Jesus. Philip was drawn to Christ when Christ lived on earth and grew in his faith. The Ethiopian eunuch was drawn to God initially through reading the word, and Philip was able to join him and help him understand that it is Christ who paid the penalty for the sin of the whole world. So take time to talk to your friends, your unbelieving friends, about Christ, or let them know through your lifestyle so that God can draw them to himself, so others can hear of him through you. And that you in turn, and they in turn, will be drawn by God to him. God draws us to himself. God draws non-believers through his word. God draws us to obedience, so others hear of him through us. And then we go back to number one, because they in turn will be drawn to him.